All right, as we get ready for Giants baseball, joined by Andy Baggerly of The Athletic. Andy, it's another beautiful day in Arizona.
Marty, it's pouring rain outside. You are forever the optimist.
Well, it's going to be sunshine by the time the fans hear this little discussion we're going to have. But you've had quite a week. And, of course, you know, we always say, Andy, you get the stories. And you got a couple of interesting stories this week. One about Barry Bonds. And I'd love to hear your version of it and how it came about, because you got a lot of time with him.
Sure. Yeah, it was a little surprising to me, I think. But that was one thing I wanted to make a point to do, because Barry always shows up for a week as a special instructor. And the Giants have kind of pulled back from that whole special instructor program because they've got 13 coaches on their staff. There's only so many lockers in that coach's room, so many voices they want in these players' heads. But you've got the guy who is the all-time home run leader and really just, you know, his generation's Ted Williams in terms of how he knew what pitches were coming, how he could lock in his plate discipline, all of the things that we saw and marveled at during his career. And I was really interested in what he thinks about, well, the launch angle revolution and everything like that, because he was sort of Mr. Launch Angle before that came into fashion. And then what he thinks about all of the modern hitting instruction and you know, is there a place for him, or how can he integrate what he knows and try to unlock all of his knowledge of hitting in the context of the modern game? And I was hoping for maybe 5 minutes. And you know that you don't always get Barry at his most sincere sometimes. So I was just hoping he would give me a couple thoughtful answers to maybe a couple questions. And it turned out that he was willing to talk for more than an hour. It was just me and him on a backfield. And you know, I would say that 80% of that time was talking about hitting. And he said a lot of things that were really, really insightful.
Andy Baggerly with us. The article is on the Athletic site, and it's an excellent article talking about Barry Bonds hitting, and we'll get into some of the other things he talked about. But what I took from it was, look, I'm Barry Bonds. In 5 minutes, I can tell you what's wrong with your swing. The analytics are terrific, but all I have to do is look at you, because that's me.
Right, and you know, we're seeing guys trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark and not worrying about striking out, and that's why you see the swings change and the swing path has changed, and guys are finishing high and they have the uppercut swing, and they're trying to, you know, basically eliminate the ball on the ground. And you've got young guys coming to the big leagues saying balls on the ground are terrible. I do not want to hit a ground ball ever if I can help it. And Barry hears that and he's like, well, no, that's not the way I was taught, and that's not what I believe. You know, he doesn't think that the uppercut swing that's coming into fashion now is really a good swing, because he doesn't consider 200 strikeouts something that you should be okay with. But at the same time, you know, he's saying, well, look at my swing. It was level, but it was controlled. And that's because it's harder to do that. You've got to engage all of these areas of your body and have them be strong and have them work in concert. And that's a harder thing to do. But what he's saying also in that whole context is, today's game will pay a player to a $200 million contract if they can hit 220 with 40 homers and 200 strikeouts. So he's saying, you know what? I probably would have done that too if that's what the game is valuing and that's what they're paying people based on. So it was really interesting to hear him talk about those things.
An excellent article that Andy wrote on The Athletic about Barry Bonds. The other thing about him, that he checked off a box by taking the Marlins hitting coach to sort of honor his father. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of what we all had assumed, and he did tell me that was really the case. He said that was for my dad, and that was just to do something to show that he could pass it on and hold that position. And I think that, you know, would he do that again? I think under the right circumstances he might, but, you know, the rigors of a 162-game schedule is something. Getting there for early work every day and being ready to throw flips to guys at 2 p.m. for a night game is, I mean, when you're a hitting coach, your number one job is to be available for these guys all the time. And, you know, Barry's accomplished a lot, and he's reached a station in his life where I don't know if that's something he really wants to do, but he did make it clear that he does want to be valued. He does want his voice to be heard, and I think he does want some recognition beyond what he's receiving now, whether it's you talk about the Hall of Fame or you talk about just the greater consciousness of baseball, because right now he doesn't feel like he's getting that commensurate with, you know, his accomplishments on the field. And obviously there's a host of reasons for that, a lot of which are, you know, are completely valid.
Well, that's a good segue into the little bit of turmoil that came out after the article with Barry Bonds, and you just alluded to it. And what I took from the article is that his feelings are hurt and that baseball has somehow passed him by. He's only got a couple more years on that ballot, and he's pouring his heart out a little bit to you, which made the article extremely interesting.
Yeah, you know, and that was, he did say a couple of things, and when the story was sort of aggregated and picked up by the rest of the media landscape, you know, it's disappointing, but it's the reality. You know it's going to happen, that they're going to pluck out the things that they can amplify that sound a little more controversial or juicy. And when he says that baseball's broken his heart, and when he says that he feels he's been given, you know, a death sentence, I mean, that's obviously what people are going to latch on to. The one thing I will say, and I do want to clarify this in every interview I've given about the story, he was very oblique in his reference to, you know, who's giving him the death penalty. And in the larger context of the conversation, I took it to mean baseball in general, you know, just the culture in general, baseball in general. And there was a point where I made a reference to that in the story and had MLB, a reference to MLB. And he got back to me the next day and said, just so you know, that I was not referring to MLB giving me the death sentence or any of their policies or procedures toward me, official or unofficial. And so, you know, well, yeah, you're exactly right. That was not the correct context. So we changed that one clause in that one sentence. We put an editor's note in. We're very transparent about saying, you know, we own that we made a mistake here. And so that's the way we handled it. And he was satisfied with it. But the frustration is, it was still being picked up. It was still being aggregated the wrong way by, I mean, not just the little clickbait sites, but ESPN, you know, big media outlets. And I think that there was some frustration on his part, rightly so, that people weren't sort of, you know, correctly recasting the story. So then he put out his own correction just to amplify the one that we had made. And you know, if anyone thinks there's a big controversy between us about this, I can tell you that I've had two conversations with him since the story came out, and they were both positive. He was laughing, you know, he was not like glowering at me about it. You know, I think actually his camp liked the story for whatever that's worth. I mean, it doesn't really matter one way or the other. I don't write for his approval. But that's just kind of the background for anybody who would try to twist this into something more than what it is.
All right. I love it. Spring training. That's what spring training baseball is all about. You do a great job. And the article is fascinating. And I encourage everybody to join The Athletic to read it. And you do a good job with this stuff. You know, I always feel that way. So let's segue a little bit to Buster Posey. You wrote about Buster Posey and specifically the post-Giant career possibility of Buster Posey.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've sort of penciled out what this is going to look like, right? When the moment the Giants took a catcher with the second overall pick in 2018, okay, what is this transition going to be like? It's going to be a big deal, not only because you're transitioning away from your MVP, the guy who was the heart and soul of three World Series teams, but you're transitioning to a guy that is their most highly drafted player since Matt Williams and Will Clark. So it's a big moment for the franchise, and we've sort of thought, well, maybe Buster will move to first base. Well, now he's not hitting enough to really be a first baseman. Okay, now let's look at his value. It's mostly as a defensive catcher now at this point still. He offers a lot in terms of leadership. So I think it's muddied the waters a little bit on how this transition is going to happen. And now the sort of the hook of the story of the story is really is what is the present and future of Buster Posey with the Giants. And we know that he's got a contract option in 2022 that probably will be a little too rich for the Giants' blood. Does he want to keep playing after he's a 34-year-old free agent? Does he want to go somewhere else? And he was very clear that, hey, look, if my choices are to be Matt Cain or Madison Bumgarner, I'm going to be Matt Cain. He doesn't want to play for another team. He said things can change, but he seemed very, very dead set on, hey, this is my identity. I really value my identity as a Giant, what I've meant to this franchise, what this franchise has meant to me. We think about franchises investing in players. He is a player, a rare player, who is just all in invested on this franchise. That's why he's on board with Gabe Kapler, trying to do his best to be a good example to the rest of the room and embracing all this new stuff that's going on that a lot of veterans might, you know, in a vacuum object to. And that's why he's being positive about trying to be a good face of this franchise, because being a Giant means everything to him. And talking to him, that was very, very clear.
Andy Baggerly, as we wrap it up, Posey's had a pretty good spring.
oh, he's looked great. He's had a very good spring. He's hitting the ball hard. His at-bats look good. His pitch recognition looks back to where it was, too. I mean, there's a reason that mirages happen in a desert, right? But the best shape of your life stories and all that. But he really does look good. And he said, hey, I was able to do dynamic lifting. I was able to do box jumping. I was able to do the stuff that I need to do to prepare for a season instead of being a rehab guy. And, you know, he said, if I'm healthier, I can spend less time in between games, in between starts, you know, just trying to do maintenance to get on the field and the training table work, and I can actually keep working out and keep doing stuff to maintain my strength. And you know what? He caught 122 games, I think, in 2016, and he hasn't caught 100 since then. I'll bet he's going to get close to 120 again. I think you're going to see a lot of Buster Posey behind the plate because there's no plan for him to get any starts at first base right now.
Well, he's extra bags. You can read him on The Athletic. You can hear him on KNBR. Good week for you. This is a good week for you.
No, well, it's, you know, it's going to be some weird times ahead for everybody, Marty. Yeah. So, you know, as much as we can get people's mind away from everything else that's going on and write a little bit about baseball, and hopefully we're able to actually have the season and have games, and, you know, and hopefully everyone stays as safe as possible. Yeah. So thank you.
Wash your hands.
Wash your hands, for sure.
All right. More coming up. KNBR 680, 104.5, the sports leader.